Before we begin, we want to take a moment to honor the memory of the talented actor Burt Young, who was still alive at the time of this recording. This episode is dedicated to his remarkable legacy in the world of entertainment. May he rest in peace. Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We will be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
We will be discussing season 3, episode 5, Another Toothpick, and we welcome a very special guest, Nick Norsha. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, everybody.
What's up, Nick?
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I love the show. I am really honored to be asked to be a part of it. And I am very eager to dive into Another Toothpick, one of my favorites from this season.
Yeah, you mentioned this is one of your favorite episodes. Why?
Yeah. So it, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, so a little bit of backstory, I said, you know, you guys asked to have me on. I kind of invited myself on in certain respects, you know, because I was such a big fan. And when, you know, just talking to Joe about what episode I would be interested in, I threw out a couple from season 3. There's some episodes later in season 3 that I also really like. And this was just one that stuck out in my head as, it's one that was very impactful for me the first time I saw it, because it had a lot of those vintage Sopranos spasmodic, unexpected outbursts of violence that come from unexpected directions and go in unexpected directions. And that was something that stuck out. And I was like, well, you know, let me go back and revisit that episode and see if it's, as memorable, or see if it fits, you know, my memory in terms of how strong I remember the episode being. And watching it this time, when I was preparing for the show, I was really impressed by how funny it was. And there's just a lot of really great light humor moments from the very beginning, from the first scene. And so, you know, I think to me that combination of humor with these very harrowing, grisly scenes of violence that coalesce together in a theme is one of the hallmarks of the show, and one of the great things about this show, The Sibling Sit Down, the ability to kind of step back and explore that whole tapestry that one episode lays out. And you know, so in this one, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I know you guys are going to get into all, you know, the discussion of theme and what have you, but I do have, you know, some thoughts on what I think that is. And is one of the things that I thought was really impressive was how they managed to weave it in and make it something that recurs throughout the episode. And Burt Young's performance was amazing. So I was blown away by him. And that was one of the things that definitely I remembered about it, his performance being so good. Going back and watching it this time, it's flawless. He's such a fully created character and so well thought out, it's just a brilliant performance.
Yeah, we often say David Chase is very good at, oh, you were always there, right? We just meet this character, it's Bobby's dad, it's as if he was always there, he was always, yes, a part of the crew, and we have no other questions about him, right? They give us what we need to know about him, and it's really well done. I like his character too.
Yeah. Now, Sarah, you don't like this episode as much as Nick, it seems.
I found it really uncomfortable to watch, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody, but it's the second of the Trinity of Violence. So I was prepared for the violence and I knew what was going to happen, but it's nothing like watching it again.
I don't think it's as bad to me as the previous episode. And I also don't think it's as bad as what's about to come. I think it's the lowest amount of violence, but impactful of the three.
Okay. I think the episode previous to this is more violent. This is more gory and gruesome, right? So it's like different. I don't even know if we can compare one over the other. They're two totally different acts to me, and why they're difficult to watch.
I would agree with that. I also think, and I mentioned this in the last one, that it's Melfi. We know Melfi. We've known Melfi for so long. Mm. You know, my connection to Mustang Sally, despite what was just said about how this show is good at it, I'm still not as connected.
He's the problem? Hold on a second. That's what you think is difficult to watch? What? Or did we watch the same episode?
What episode for you is worse than Mustang Sally?
She's saying the violence from the episode that's more troubling is not so much Mustang Sally getting his comeuppance as why he's getting his comeuppance.
So Joseph thinks Mustang essentially getting hit is the worst. Nick, it sounds like you think the bludgeoning with the golf club, which is really bad, which is worse than Mustang Sally, but mine is Mr. Bakla
dying in the car.
It's him with watching him be sick. And when he's killing Mustang Sally, you don't know if it's his blood coming out of his face and you don't know if it's Mustang Sally's blood on him. It's like, it's him that is difficult to watch during that scene, not Mustang Sally.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. So we all three different perspectives of this.
And not a word for the poor friend who gets shot, who didn't do anything.
In the face.
Through a chair. Yeah.
In the face. That's a rough, rough kill.
He was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He's fucking the woman who owns the house. I'm going to, let me do my summary here.
Go. Wait, and then we need to talk about how we know Nick.
We'll get in here.
We'll get that.
Guy who wandered into the studio.
When Vito's brother is viciously attacked by a thug named Mustang Sally, Tony calls upon Bobby's father to whack Sally, who happens to be Bobby Sr.'s godson, in name only. The hit is successful, but the cancer-ridden Bobby Sr. dies during his getaway. Tony, enraged by his joint therapy session with Carmela, takes out his anger on a black cop who is simply doing his job, all the while feeling guilty for his behavior. Meadow, too lazy to go out and buy her own lamp, steals the one from the basement, neutralizing the FBI's bug in the sausage factory. Meanwhile, Artie ends his marriage with Charmaine, only to try to make a connection with Adriana. Oh, and Junior has cancer. This episode aired on March 25th, 2001. Did I cover everything?
A lot happens. A lot happens. Okay.
So, Nick, I have known you for 26 years.
You were part of that Dominic's seventh grade influx.
Influx.
I've been there since first grade at St. Joe's. You know, like we saw the waves of different incomers. Sixth grade, I think you made an immediate impression. I believe we wrote a Seinfeld like spec together or something like
we
that.
We did.
Eighth grade, the literary
which
magazine.
Oddly we did not talk about when we recorded the Seinfeld episode of First Last Best, which by the way is my other podcast, which everyone should listen to on Apple and Spotify. but you moved away for a little while, so we kind of went to high school together for 1 year, but then we stayed in touch, and we've been definitely TV buddies ever since.
Where are you now? Are you back in Jersey?
Yes, I'm in Marlboro. We actually bought the house that my wife's parents used to own. So it's the house she grew up in.
Wow.
We got to raise our kids in her house, which is nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, welcome home.
Thank you.
All right. So let's dive in, guys. Sarah, what's your favorite scene?
Okay, my favorite scenes. I'm sorry. Okay, I think I have a favorite. It has to be Janice and Tony on the couch drinking wine, and they're clearly, it's the most comfortable we have ever seen these two together so far. It's the first time you actually really feel like they're siblings and they're on the same side in life. And when Janice says, I've gotten to know Christ, James Gandolfini's smile, his smirk, is one of his best moments in this entire episode, dare I say season three. That's how good it is. So I think that is my favorite scene for a few reasons we'll get into. My second favorite scene is Artie in the restaurant with Tony and Christopher. And Michael Imperioli is in only this scene, this entire episode. It's his. And when he says, you think you're the only one who knows how to swing a meat cleaver, the acting is just like two shout outs to two amazing moments for two amazing actors in these two scenes.
Quite a cannoli.
I was thinking that too.
So big cannoli. I don't know why that's a cannoli.
Oh, that's because you've only watched the series once.
Okay. Okay. Nick, how many times have you watched it?
No.
I've seen it all the way through at least twice. I've seen certain seasons, maybe more than that. But okay. Not quite as many as Joe. But
okay. You're not Bada Binge level crazy.
Sarah, let's go back to your original scene. One of the issues I have with that scene, I'm curious if you two did as well, is when Janice randomly brings up Pussy and what happened to him.
Okay.
That wasn't random. I have a theory on that. But Sarah, you go first.
I don't know if I have a theory. I don't think it's random. I think she recognizes that they're sitting there. They're comfortable. They're opening up to each other. And I think that's her moment. And she wants to ask.
I think all of that is true. I think also like that it's a comfortable moment. We're revealing our secrets, all that stuff. I also think at the top of that scene, Tony has this line where he's like, we've been through a lot of death, and he's like, ma, and then he pauses. It's Richie. Like, that's where he would have said one of his best friends, Pussy, that he's dead too.
Oh.
But he doesn't because he can't. He's not going to implicate her. He's not going to admit to his culpability. So, I think the party line at this time is, Pussy's in witness protection, like everybody. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think that he caught himself and didn't say that. And she is his sister. She picked up on it. So then later was kind of like, what did happen?
See, that pause I don't see about Pussy. I see that about Richie.
Oh, that he didn't want to say that in that. Maybe.
Yeah.
It could be both. I mean, that's the funny thing. It's like, there's all these things we don't talk about. A lot of death. Right. Yeah. There's the one we can officially talk about. And then many murders that we won't talk about.
And both are now lied about being in witness protection, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that theory.
It's funny because I had my favorite scene is a different one from both yours, and my honorable mention is different. My favorite scene is the opening.
Oh, that's my favorite scene.
Oh, that's your favorite scene too.
Yeah, yeah.
I love what you expect from the camera, and then that swing to Carmela is so perfectly done. And then just the dialogue and how they speak. And by the way,
do you think that there's anything in the present family dynamic that could serve as a trigger? Something in your dialoguing, perhaps?
Excuse me?
I don't really know you that well. We're trying to get to root causes.
Like maybe you do things, that have some effect on me?
Oh, really?
What? People affect each other in life.
Oh, I get it. Is this how it works? You can't get any answers out of him, so you start looking for someone else to point the finger at?
I agree with Carmela. They're teaming up on her, and I do think it's unfair.
Melfi is unprofessional in that scene. Right?
I agree.
She's straight up like coming at her. And I think that it sort of had to be that way for the way they, they wanted to set it up for their dynamic after they talk about the session afterwards. But yeah, that's like the most kind of un-Melfi you see her almost.
It's surprising.
No, I agree with you. That's my favorite scene in the episode too. And it was like hysterical, and it's so well acted. Carmela in that scene, there's this moment where Tony's talking to her about, he's like, no, she's helping. Remember that thing I told you about the gabagool where I passed out? And then if you look at Edie Falco's face, she has this thing where it's like, you can tell that the character doesn't remember this conversation at all. This whole right. She's just like nodding along, like, you know, like, and it's just this subtle little thing she threw in there that is just brilliant.
Yes. And it's really, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. So far, it's the first time Melfi and Carmela have met each other. So it's the first time we see the three powerhouses of this show in a room together.
They were in the cars together. So we've seen them on screen together.
Right.
We haven't.
This is the first time we really get.
Yes.
You know, the three leads. If you want to say Lorraine Bracco is a lead actress of the show, which we talked about last week, I don't think she is, but... here you are. Here are your three actors, and it's just they're amazing in it. And the other honorable mention I have to say is that hospital scene. Talk so about good. Comedy in a tough it's moment. Ralphie is on the top of his game.
He's
funny.
He's so, too much.
And then when they open the candy at the end,
well, when they open the Whitmans. Okay, hold on a second. Don't you think that there he's opening the Whitmans and someone's going to make a fat joke, but they all just silently join him in eating it? Right. It's like you don't expect it.
Yeah, no one speaks of it.
It's fantastic. It's
so good.
And you said hospital scene. You made me think Junior has a lot of funny moments in this episode too, including that hospital scene between Junior and Tony. Which almost plays like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, like where it's basically like you learn that Junior had this weird theory that everyone dies in threes. So that's why he didn't want Tony to do the hit. That's why he didn't want Tony to have old man Bacala do the hit.
Yeah.
So that way he could maintain his, he died of cancer. So therefore it's not going to get me. Like, this is the Larry David thing. Like that is... That was hysterical to me.
And I love that Tony calls him out for it. He goes, wait a second. Is that what you think?
But I believe deaths come in threes. We talk about that all the time.
We'll get to that, I think. Because I, too, believe that death comes in threes. But I think that is our upbringing.
But so for you guys, though, is it specific? Is it like his where it's specific to like death from cancer comes in threes or whatever?
No. So it's always death comes in threes. So I'm going to jump forward a little bit here, but I look this up because it's death comes in threes, but really it's bad luck comes in threes. That's what it is. The theory of it is that the superstition emerged during the Crimean War, where soldiers were warned against lighting three cigarettes from the same match to avoid being spotted by the enemy.
Oh,
wow.
It's interesting. So that's why our grandmother died with Princess Diana, Mother Teresa?
Yeah.
That's the only one where the world had only two, but we had three.
We had the three. Right.
She was the third.
She was the third. There's also a general belief that it aligns with the Trinities. So it's not just bad luck. It's not just deaths, but general tragedies and births as well.
Okay.
Which Janice speaks to.
Yes. And this is the middle of a trinity of episodes.
Okay. Should we do our theme first and we'll go back to our favorite quote?
You want to switch the order?
Let's switch. I said all I need to say kind of about the theme. Because I think the theme is this everything comes in threes. Which is an expansion of what you said, Joseph. And Nick, I'm very curious to what your theme is.
Okay. My theme is also involved threes, but I think it's about people and relationships. That there are always three people in a relationship. Some examples. I'm just going to fire them off. Artie is the third to Aiden and Chris. Father Phil is the third to Tony and Carm. Melfi is the third to Tony and Carm. Tony is the third to Charmaine and Artie. Junior is the third to Bobby and his father. Brian is the third to Sally and Tina. Tony is the third to Meadow and Noah. Wilmore is the third to Tony and Carm. Zellman is the third to Tony and Wilmore. And Adriana is the third to Artie and Charmaine, all in this episode. And by the way, the title, another toothpick, because that third party is the toothpick getting between these two teeth.
That's
picking
a stretch.
At what's in the middle.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's what the title is. You that's really think ridiculous. The title is simply because that's what Livia said? The title always means something else. all of these people are things wedging between the tightness of a relationship, like a toothpick.
Okay. So I think the whole thing is everything comes in threes, not just the people, but cool call out. I also think there's a missed opportunity that at the end, Tony offered the cop $200 and it should have been three.
Okay.
That's it. That was something that bothered me because I'm like, why? Why couldn't you just give him $300? That would have been great.
Okay.
Nick, what do you think the theme is?
So I had a totally different take. I looked at it as the theme of the episode is summed up by a line that Junior says to Tony, and I believe it's in their scene where they're in the law office. He says, it's always some power trip with you. And so that the theme of the episode is people exercising, what people do to exercise power over others.
Okay.
And the struggle to exercise power over others. So Mustang Sally beating Brian up with the golf club wasn't even really about him. It was about trying to exercise power over his girlfriend and try to say, you know, if you think you're going to even talk to a guy, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to exercise that power over you. There's the power struggle for the control of the Aprile crew between Gigi and Ralphie and the sort of backbiting that goes on with that and the Tony backing Gigi and saying, like, basically it's his call to make. It's this kind of nod to the struggle for who's actually exercising power. And Tony then also having to struggle against Johnny Sack and Ralphie and everyone else to try to say, no, I'm the boss. I get to exercise power. And Junior doing the same thing where, you know, he tells Bobby, basically, I'm the boss of this family. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm the one who gets to make the ultimate call. There's basically, the, you know, there's a bunch of other examples of it throughout. You know, I think that the struggle really between Chris and Artie is who gets to exercise power over this woman, over right. Adriana throughout the episode. Do you get to decide, which is, I mean, obviously it's a, you know, very patriarchal concept, but that is the culture. And, you know, this idea that, you know, Artie wants to keep her in the restaurant and Chris wants to have her as, you know, a stay-at-home housewife or, you know, support for him. And that they are both struggling to exercise power over her. Tony's struggling to control power over Jackie Jr. And Meadow as well. There's a couple other examples I think that I found, but I'll leave it at that.
Well, I think my examples, though, all match you as well. I think you and I are really kind of saying the same thing, but you looked at it from a power and I looked at it as a wedge. But I think, aren't we really saying the same thing?
No, I see. There's definitely overlap. Yeah, I agree. And then
that,
you know,
third party is always trying to put power over the relationship.
Not always. Father Phil is not trying to have power over Carmel and Tony. I think he's a wedge. Like, he's your toothpick. Mm. So to speak.
Though visually it's Tony that's the wedge between Phil and Carmella.
Sure.
In that moment when he's behind them watching,
yeah,
he's really kind of the wedge.
I do see this power theme, though, for sure. Yeah,
I do, too. All right, so he's got some game, Sarah.
Yeah, he's got game. All right. Favorite quote?
It's the one that ends my favorite scene.
You're both very angry.
Yeah, you must have been at the top of your fucking class.
That's pretty beautiful.
And establishes his comfort with Melfi in front of Carmella.
Yeah.
Which is... also just, it ties even more into the awkwardness. Like, he's going back at Melfi, but it's like, don't be that comfortable in front of Carmella. Oh.
I also want to point out another quote I like that is weird. It's one of the only times we've ever heard Tony say, I love you, to Carmella. When he says, yeah, I love you too.
Oh.
I know it's sarcastic and funny, but he never says, I love you.
Yeah, that's a good
that point. Is true.
It's pretty jarring to hear him say it, even though he's being an asshole about it.
It didn't strike me as jarring because I just knew that he was, like, obviously just saying it
right
to her. But I love the Father Phil line. Since you guys were just talking about him with in that awkward scene with Carmella, where he's like, "Well, I'll see you." He just says nothing. He's like,
I
really humiliated myself in front of this family. See ya.
That is a good moment.
And I do just want to throw out before you give yours, Sarah, but okay. my close second is,
I don't know what your problem is, but you've had a hair across your ass all week.
I love her, and I know everybody loves her, though, so
I don't really love her.
How?
Oh, you don't love Charmaine? Really?
Not really.
Every time she's on the screen, I can't take my eyes off of her. Yeah. The way she speaks, everything about her, I love her.
Later this season, I can't take my eyes off her. Not in this particular episode, but in later seasons, there's some moments where I'm like, all right. Oh, yeah, you'll see.
She gets a little glow up?
Oh, listen, separation from Artie does her good.
Huh.
You'll see.
Okay. Okay, I have two. One is maybe because of the fact that you stick your dick into anything with a pulse, you ever explore that as the root cause? Like, she's just going off on her tangent and that's the end of it. I thought that was so funny. And then when Artie walks in the restaurant and Tony says, hey, Wolfgang Fuckface. So mean to him. Oh, my God. All right. Symbolism. Are we ready?
Yeah, I don't have that much.
Okay.
Do you, Nick? Do you see a lot of symbolism in this episode?
I have a couple things. I'll yield to Sarah first, but it looks like she's excited about revealing
something. Go ahead. No, I only have two.
Well, ladies first. Go ahead.
Okay. Peppers and eggs is mentioned. So Tina's boyfriend beats Brian to, well, at the time I put to death, because I didn't know if he was dead at the time I wrote the note. And then both food ones. Tony pours orange juice as he's fighting with Meadow and she's taking the lamp home. And I dare say he lost that argument because his daughter storms out and his wife is mad at him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll give that one to you. You stole my peppers and eggs one.
Stole?
It's on my list.
Everyone.
Just saying, okay. It's on.
I think everybody heard it in the episode. I don't think.
I had, Adriana in the scene with Artie when she first tells him that this is my... You know, this is my last day. I'm leaving or whatever. She's wearing a dress that has like a tiger on it. Like a tiger.
It is a tiger. She's wearing a tiger. She's
wearing a tiger because in that scene, she is the predator and he is the prey. He's wearing white. And basically, like, she's like, you think this is going to go one way? We're going to have a lovely little, like, you know, chat and have wine. But it's actually going to go another way. I'm going to exert my authority over you and tell you that I don't work here anymore and I'm not going to get 2 weeks and bye. So.
Even nice. Her hair is mane-like. Like it's big. Yeah.
She's stunning. God. Okay. That's it.
And a great actress. The way she plays the other Artie scene is brilliant.
I hate that scene.
Yeah.
She's amazing in it. Don't get me wrong. I just.
It's also scene. Uncomfortable to watch. Definitely. Oh, and sorry. One more.
Yeah.
Officer Leon Wilmore is his name, according to I just looked this up when I was looking through the cast list or whatever for that episode. I'm like, Wilmore, interesting. So the struggle between him and Tony throughout the episode is basically, can Tony like bribe this guy? Can he get him to bow to him? And because of his strength of will, he never bends to him throughout. He's like, no, you're not going to get me. I'm going to will more than you're going to will.
I thought it was a little heavy-handed.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, no,
that's
I didn't
in my notes, too. Don't you read my notes?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes
is this also stolen symbolism?
Well, you didn't have my
that's
notes,
stolen.
Nick. You didn't steal anything.
Nick doesn't get yelled at for stealing your symbolism, but I do. What the heck?
He doesn't have access to my notes. You do.
So you think.
I have a few. So a kind of a revisit to college. You know, Carmela is jealous of Melfi and Tony is jealous of Father Phil. And in this episode, we kind of revisit that idea, maybe a little quicker, a little more subtly, but it's a revisit to the college dynamic.
Huh.
The washing of Mustang Sally's hands before his death, I thought was interesting. We always talk about water being a cleansing thing. you know, and he says, run your hand under it, and you have the camera focusing on the waving of his hand under the water. I thought that was, I don't know if it's a cleansing of his sins before he dies. Or I don't know what something's there.
Do you like that his godfather is the one that kills him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I do a lot, actually. The song Sister Golden Hat is about meeting me in the middle, which, again, I think correlates with the theme of the toothpick wedging between people. And it also crashes. Bobby Sr. crashes just as he says the lines, I just can't make it. Crash. That's the end of the song. So
you think
that
they
was
plan that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I already said this, but Janice says the Holy Trinity, which is just meta, which you know I love, and because this is a trinity of episodes, and so I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well done.
But what that's it. Like, it's not heavy.
What does the title mean?
Do I have to say it again?
This time with
nope.
No. No, I mean, don't. And also, Janice says it. I mean, their mother used to say that about people that died. Great. But that's not really what it's about. It's never about the obvious. It's always about something deeper.
Sure. I like how they laugh together at that. Because he says, he's like annoyed that she says it. And she goes, Ma used to say it. And then they kind of are mourning their mom together, which they certainly, I assume, have not done yet together.
You're right.
That's true.
So it's a nice moment. All right. Are we ready? On three, the three of us are going to say our most valuable Goomba. Okay. One, two, three. Junior.
Oh, Bobby Sr. How could you think it's Junior? Please make your case. By the way, Nick is a lawyer. So please.
I think Junior pushes the plot forward more. We never see Mustang Sally ever again. That plot line's over.
But the plot line of the episode...
Sure, but Junior, the plot line of the show, he's carrying it forward. He now is sick. He's terrified of death. He told Bobby that he's sick now and he doesn't want people to look at him poorly. And we were reminded after a very long time that he is the boss of this family. We have not even mentioned that he's the boss of the family in a very long time. I just think that he is the one that is carrying the plot forward. I'm getting, ladies and gentlemen, I am getting faces from these two. Like, I am a moron.
Counselor, do you want to take this one?
Well, you know, in Sarah's defense, I would say I'm at times a little confused about the criteria of what makes the most valuable.
Oh, my God.
For me, it's kind of a feel thing. Like, okay. I just feel like Old Man Bacala is the one who stepped up, got done what he was supposed to get done, you know. Bully for you. You did a good job. You're our most valuable Goomba. Like, Junior in this episode is kind of showing how he's feckless. Like, he can't do it.
Right.
Okay, but Nick, your theme was about showing power, right? And sure, the hit was all about how Junior went to Tony and really asked him not to have Old Man Bacala do the hit. And Tony kept his power over Junior. And we saw that is still a dynamic. And that's important
to
know
for the show. By that argument, though, Tony is the most valuable Goomba by that logic.
No, it's not the most. Hold on. The most valuable Goomba criteria does not have power in there. Now we're going way off the rails. Okay, well, I guess I lost that one. Congrats. Congrats, Bobby Sr.
Can we all agree that Bobby Jr. was the least valuable Goomba?
Yeah, he did not.
Whoa. It's a rough episode for Bobby.
Oh, he's so sad. And Junior stood like hug him.
He's an
Junior.
Awful crier. He's an awful crier.
You don't like him.
I don't.
You don't.
I don't like Steve Shrupa at all.
Careful. Careful. You don't want to get on his SHIT list.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Steve Shrupa motherfucks the world. You know,
what
you
is that?
That's a thing that he says on his podcast all the time, right? Am I saying it right? Steve Shrupa motherfucks the world. He has a list of people that he wants Michael Imperioli when he dies. He wants Michael Imperioli to say fuck you to these people at his funeral.
That is okay. How could you not like a man that has that list? That's
no, I, like
I love that. I'm going to make this list. Thankfully, it's short, but I bet as I get older, the list will grow.
Yeah, you're young. You're younger.
Yeah, I'm too
Nick
young.
And I have
yeah.
a longer list.
You're not that much older than me.
Yeah, but your 30s, I feel, is really where that list gets
I was just
formed.
About to say, is like, am I about to hit the time where all of those people yeah. will come? Okay, cool.
All right, let's move on to if we pulled this shit or something that made us go, oh my God, that's us. For an episode that's about, you know, whacking your godson and deciding if an old man's going to kill someone, I actually found this was the category I wrote the most on for.
I had a few. I definitely had a few.
Nick, did you? This remind you of your family or your, I mean, for me, it's my dynamic with Sarah. Did you have this with your sisters, the dynamic of this episode?
You mean in terms of the Janice and Tony scene?
Or? Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, not as directly. Like, there's a bunch of us. I'm one of five. So it's like, you know, these one-on-one connections like are a little, you know, more nuanced. Right. You know, it's not like... So I didn't respond necessarily to that one, but the thing that kind of stuck out just for me is like the connection to my own, like, you know, family, my own household or whatever, was this idea of like kind of Meadow coming back from college, taking the lamp, whatever. Like, you know, that does remind me of like my family dynamic growing up of like, you know, oh, so-and-so's back from college. They're taking this. Someone, you know, someone's moving this to their room, but like, you know, like this kind of, you know, treating the house as like your own personal you know, shopping spree where
yeah,
you
don't... communal
Costco. I yeah. used to call it Costco.
Costco shopping spree. Exactly.
Yeah, that's very fair. I connected to that as well. A big one for me was okay, this is so particular. Are you ready? The floral print notepad next to the phone on the wall.
Nana had that.
Right. Thank you. I'm like, not yeah. our house, but I had this vision of I've had that before in my life.
Yes.
And I was Nana little in her house, right? I was really little. That, yeah, that was a particular one that stuck out to me.
Mine, I mean, I can sum it all up in the don't tell anyone I have cancer. Don't tell anyone. No, of course not.
No.
And cut to.
I'm not kidding. You can't talk about this with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Hello.
Uncle June's got cancer.
You Uncle know, June you has know cancer. And it's not even an immediate cut. It's a cut to Janice, and we know it's coming. And he doesn't even say hello. Uncle June has cancer.
Like,
which is exactly what I would do if I knew, God forbid, one of our family had cancer. Yeah. I'd call you and me and be like, Uncle so and so has cancer. And yeah. I wouldn't even say anything.
And then you'd come over and we'd drink wine.
Yes.
That was it.
So that's what our family does. No, of course we want to.
Yeah, no, I would never. I would never. Joseph.
Right.
No one's ever going to tell us a secret ever.
Never.
This is it.
I think people assume that. I think in any society, you know, that when you tell person A, you are also telling B, C, and possibly even a D. Like there's just a group. Like,
Me and Jacqueline say that about each other. Like, people probably assume
right.
that, and like, if she knows want, I know.
If you don't want B, C, and D to know, then don't tell the A person, and then there you go. And it's fine. If I don't want Christian to know something, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, I think husband. That's fair. Yeah.
You're going to tell that's him. Fair. That's fine.
Speaking of Christian, I never knew Whitman's chocolate until...
Really?
Yeah, until... Christian bought a bunch one time and I was like, what is this glorious chocolate? And he's like, I don't know. It's just this chocolate. Like I had never seen that before.
It's good. And I don't think it's cheap.
Yeah. It's like whatever chocolate. But I was like, oh, that's that chocolate you always buy.
I feel you can get it at like a no brand pharmacy, like a no, like not yeah, a CVS, was, like a local pharmacy.
It was
pharmacy.
Like our chocolate stock up during COVID. Like I associate Whitman's chocolate with COVID.
I'm sure Whitman's is very happy to know.
Yeah, that. Sorry. That's really, I think that's a personal, I think that's a personal alignment, not a general one.
I want to point out one, and maybe this is more of us as a spouse. So, and all three of us are married. So, but when Carmela says that some black kid in the neighborhood steals Meadow's bike, despite the racist undertones, because nobody would ever go, some white kid stole. So, I mean, she's being racist.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what gets me. It's the, she knows she's softballing to Tony here. Get her with this. But she wants to stay out of it. But she... Right. Meadow knows she's throwing it, but Carmela has deniability. All I did was tell a story. Your father's the asshole. I feel that's very much a married people dynamic. We do that all the time. Like, you take this one, I'm going to hand it to you.
I mean, an interesting relationship. No, I'm just kidding. No, yes. I see what you're saying.
My kids are 2 and 8 months. So at this point, you know, the 2-year-old just tells us what to do. Like, there is no, like, you know, like, you, yeah. Let me throw this one. Yeah. Like, just desperately struggling. Can we get this kid under control? So, so I don't know. I can't totally relate, but it's an interesting perspective.
But I don't think it's kids even. I don't think it has to be with your children. I think it could be with any situation. Like, I know when Carolyn's trying to say, like, say this. I don't want to say it, but I want you to say this.
Hmm.
And she'll lob me a little comment like, I'll take it.
I think that this is I really think this is a kid thing. And I don't know if I see what you're saying. I totally understand it. And I'm not saying that's never happened before, but it wasn't something that like stood out to me like, oh, that's a married people thing. That might have to be a parent's thing.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Hey, Nick, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
The last time you were at a funeral, and I hope it was not for someone very close to you, but did you have a need to go check out the hearse?
No.
Did you?
No.
What the fuck is he looking at? What do you mean? I'm going to go check out the hearse. What is that? Yeah, and then she says, don't get lost. The fucking hearse is right there.
No, I think she's saying, like, stay nearby. Like, I don't want to have to look for you if we want to leave. That's what she's saying. Don't get lost.
I think what Joe's saying is she should have been saying, why do you want to go look at a hearse?
Agreed. Right. Yes. The hearse.
It's not even like the 6-year-old like is like, ooh, something new. I mean, AJ's in high school. He knows what he's out there at funerals every other day. What are you looking at? Fucking idiot. He's an idiot. Jesus.
We had the couch print, that printed couch that they are sitting and drinking on, Tony and Janice.
Not the exact, you mean something like.
No, but like that vibe, that like printed kind of 80s beige, but like not even 80s, it was 90s really.
Well, and that's what we would have had it.
Yeah, we had a very similar couch. Daddy has an earring like Artie.
Yeah.
Where he can put an earring in, but he doesn't wear one. And when I was little, I was what? Joseph knows where I'm going with this. I was 8, 9, 10.
I was a sophomore in high school because I remember
we
went.
Know that?
Because we went to see me in a play that I did my sophomore year.
No, because it was when Daddy took me to see the Nutcracker, and it was me and Daddy were going on a date, and I was all dressed up, and he was dressed up, and he took me to see the Nutcracker. I was little.
Really?
Yes. Right. And I begged him. I was like, Daddy, put your earring in. And he was like, oh my God, no. Like, it was a thing. And then finally mommy was like, here, just put my diamond earring in. Just don't, you're not going to run into anybody you know. Just like, this is cute. Just do it. And he wore it and he dropped it in the toilet. And to this day, you ask my mom about her diamond earring. She says it's in the toilet because Daddy dropped it in there because he wore it once. Fun fact, Christian also has an earring that he does not wear, but he can.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Nick, do you have any earrings that you wear or don't wear? I can't see you ever wearing an earring.
I don't like to do painful things to myself. I don't even wear contacts. I wear glasses because like I'm scared by the idea of like.
Really?
Me too. I don't wear glasses either, but as we get older, when I inevitably do need glasses, it will be glasses. I would never touch my eyes. I hate that. I hate that idea.
Interesting.
Do you know my earring story, right, Sarah? When I was, I wasn't even in high school yet. Probably it was around middle school when we were buddies. My friend had like a magnet earring, like a stud that was a magnet that you didn't, you know, didn't have pierced. And I wore it and mom knew. She said, just wear it and see what your father says. My father didn't say anything. He physically went after me. And my mother had to push him and scream, it's fake, it's fake, it's fake. Because he thought that I got my ears pierced without checking.
You were up against the fridge.
Yes.
I'll never forget it.
He did not get me. And I don't think, by the way, he would not have ever physically hurt me. My father would never hurt me. But he was going to get me. Like, he was like, I'm going to grab you.
Now, our father, we've said this before, too. Like, I only remember him being mad ever five times in my entire life. And that was one of them. If that. But it was terrifying.
Take it off. Like, he was
like get it. Take it out. Take it out.
He did not like
but
that.
But he has an earring.
But I was in middle. I was young. It wasn't like I was 17 and I did. I was a rebel.
Daddy was 25 when he got his ear pierced.
Right. You know. If I was 25 and got my ears pierced, Dad would have been fine with it. He would have made fun of me.
Oh, but he would have been fine with it.
So is your mom like, oh, that ruse went over great?
She was mortified. She was like, because it was her fault. She was the one who told me to do it. Like, let's see how this works.
As a joke, and yeah. She's like, sorry.
Backfired.
But a good family story that lived on for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cannolis.
Nick, you got any? We'll start with you.
Sure. Yeah, we talked about I'm not the only one who knows how to swing a meat cleaver. I also have kind of within the episode, Fur Young saying to Brian, that stuff will kill you, about cigarettes. And then Brian saying something has to the person who's about to kill him. That counts as a cannoli, but I thought that was interesting. And I thought it was interesting him pointing it out, you know, this discussion too, because that is what kills old man Bacala too. We think, you know, is the cigarettes as well.
We see. We hope. Junior hopes, at least. Junior. Wait, that guy's name is Brian? No, Brian's the one that got hit.
Oh, no, sorry. I was calling him Brian. Yeah, all innocent victims are Brian, apparently, to me.
Yeah. Just everyone's Brian.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he has a name.
I think he's actually in the credits as the guy who's fucking the girl who owns this house.
Yeah. There you go.
Either that or it's what Bobby Sr. calls him, and I don't want to say that on a podcast. But
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of the two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that one. So that moment, Vito has the line, pardon my French, want this cocksucker bleeding from his asshole. This is a cannoli.
Good one.
Good
one.
One more was, Ralphie, this one might be a little bit of a stretch. I'm interested in what you think about it. Ralphie saying, when he's talking about killing Mustang Sally, he says, you know, I'll do it. I'll take this guy apart at the joints.
Good one.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Very good.
Gross. Okay. Just saying.
Okay.
I have an internal episode one too, and I only have one. It's the cigarettes are brought up a few times actually. So Carmela says in the beginnings, in the first scene, Carmela says people, you know, smoke cigarettes their whole life and then sue the cigarette companies. And that's just within the episode. There's a lot of just the cigarettes and then the lung cancer. Like, it was just a motif.
Yeah.
If you will.
Can I throw out a stretch, but I really believe it?
I'll catch you.
I just thought of this. Catch me.
I'll catch you.
Some people hold a cigarette in their teeth. Toothpicks.
Like a toothpick.
I don't know. You might fall on your face for this one. Well done.
All right. I have a few.
You do.
Mustang Sally's girl, who I don't think is named in this episode.
Yes, it is. Her name is Tina.
Oh, okay. Well, Tina comes back, and not a lot of people realize this. She is Adriana's best friend and her maid of honor. Oh. She will come back in an episode.
Definitely dateless to this wedding. He's dead.
Okay.
I don't think that was going to work out between
them. No. Oh, that's true. It seemed like they were together for a long time, though. No? If he was like...
Yeah.
Super possessive. I got a feel that they were together for a long time.
We all have that one that is just toxic that we stay with for way too long.
Let it go.
Nick, you remember the episode I'm talking about, right?
You know, now that you mention it, I do. I do, I think. Yeah. Something to do, you know, with, we'll get to it. We'll get to it later.
I think it's interesting that Bobby says he would do the hit on Mustang Sally. considering something we learn about Bobby later.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that. Johnny Sack, who of course is there, sticking his beak in. First of all, just a parallel. The camera swings to him too.
Another
thing. Same way it swung to Carmella.
It does.
The fact that he brings up the whole conflict between Junior and Tony, and Paulie immediately says, he didn't hear it from Mito.
Oh, that's a cannoli. Interesting.
That's a big cannoli.
Yeah.
That's all my cannolis. I do have a few anything else's, though.
Go.
No.
You want to back and forth this shit, or you want me to just go? Let's round robin it. I'm kind of stealing Nick's thunder here, but I just want to say again, bravo to Burt Young. Oscar nominated Burt Young for the movie Rocky, where he plays Rocky's brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
And also Charles Dutton, who plays Wilmore. I think he is fantastic in this episode. Two well-established actors who come in and make the roles their own. You kind of forget they're famous people. And yep. I love that about this episode.
I found it just funny when the lawyer asked Tony and Junior, may I, to answer his own phone in his own office. Again, establishing that power. Like, who's really the powerful one? Yeah. I thought that made me giggle.
And again, a third in a situation. He's getting in between Tony and Junior's conversation like a toothpick.
Like that toothpick.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have anything else other than I'll go with... another quote I really liked was Junior, stop speaking in anagrams.
I like that one.
I like that too. Can we, let's talk about family trees here. So Jackie Jr. says that Brian Spatafore is his cousin, which means that Vito was also related to Richie, who was also related to Adriana. So Vito, Jackie Jr., are all related to Adriana?
Okay, hold on. Jackie is Richie's nephew.
Right.
Adriana is his nephew. So Jackie and Aid are cousins.
His niece are cousins.
So you can get rid of, like, yeah, Richie out of this line. I'm trying to connect. Brian then Adriana's cousin? That's what I'm trying to get at. Is Brian in the bed Aid's cousin?
As Vito. Vito's his brother. So that means that Vito and Jackie and Adriana are all three cousins?
Vito is his brother?
That's Vito's brother.
Whoa! Yeah, they're cousins. All of them are cousins. Everyone's cousins.
Which makes something that happens end of the season kind of crazy. But
yes!
And kind of unexplored in the show.
And also in the previous episode, Ralph makes a comment about how hot Adriana is to Jackie Jr., who says
his cousin.
That's his cousin. Like,
wait, you're so right. Jackie's checking out Adriana.
Yes.
Ew.
Now listen.
Ew, don't go there.
Adriana's.
Tony grows his own sweet corn. Number jealous, but also two. How? Where?
Why? Yeah.
I found that interesting.
There are certain moments in this show that I just love when little details go unexplained, and I simultaneously love and hate them. And this is one of those moments. I'm going to Fortune Offs. When are you coming home? When I'm done. Why can't you just answer the question? First of all, why do you care when she's coming home?
Okay,
why does that bother you?
Also, yeah, don't ask me, how does she know when she's coming home when she's done shopping?
It just, right.
Yeah, it was kind of a dumb question.
But clearly there's a reason that James Gandolfini knows in his head why he's being a snot to her. And it just, I love those moments. But at the same time, I go, why is the fuck are you talking like that to her? At that moment, are you deciding, like, Carmella clearly shops a lot. Like, it's not crazy that she's going to Fortune Offs.
Ralphie is still quoting Gladiator, which I found funny. And then he says, whatever you say, Cappy. And he calls Gigi Cagoots. But he pronounces it differently.
Yeah, he did.
He's called, like, it was like Gajoots or something. It was like, you knew what he was saying, though. Yeah, you call Adam that. Yeah.
I just thought this was funny as a sibling sit down reference, which was, I'm surprised your favorite scene was not when Meta was in the basement going to get the lamp and was singing and showing us her amazing vocal talents.
Tease me till I can't deny this love and feeling. I long for your kiss.
She's so good.
And also, interestingly, what she was singing is probably a cannoli too, which is Leave Me Breathless, just like happens to Old Man Bacala. So.
Wow.
Wow. I would also argue it's a cannoli for the other next things. Episode. The next episode.
Oh.
Which is a Meadow-centric episode.
Hmm. Interesting.
I would think if, again, I talk about this being her best season. I think a lot of it's because of the next episode.
Hmm.
I think. But it was in my notes, Nick. You beat me to the punch. I planned on talking about her beautiful singing voice.
Just so you both know, I'm writing down here trying to figure out a family tree where it's okay that Jackie thinks Adriana is hot. That's literally what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to figure out the scenario that makes this okay. So if you just see me kind of looking down a little bit.
Somebody was adopted somewhere. I don't know.
They all can't be cut. Everyone can't be cut. I'm not over this.
This happens a lot when I watch this show. I talked about this when Pussy got killed in the end of season two, but the big kill of this scene, of this episode of Mustang Sally and the big violent scene, it happens at the 35-minute mark. I always assume it's going to happen at the end. There's so much more episode after that happens.
Yeah, no, it's funny. In my memory of this episode, it was, you know, it opened with the Brian thing and closed with the Old Man Bacala, you know, driving into the sign thing.
Yep. That's
sort of how I remembered it. Then went back and saw, I was like, whoa, no, you know, first of all, it doesn't, it's like a few scenes in that the Brian thing happens. And then that's all resolved. That storyline is resolved by the middle when Old Man Bacala dies. And then there's, you know, there's more after that.
Really?
It is interesting.
Sarah,
I got it.
Old.
So if Adriana is Richie's niece on his wife's side of the family, this makes it a little okay.
And she, like, does have a different last name. So.
Yes. So his, like, wife's sister's kid versus his brother's kid.
Hmm. Could be.
Close, but not as bad as what we're saying.
Question. Do you think there's, you know, a meta moment in the fact that Mustang Sally's watching Sally, Jesse, Raphael that plays into this discussion of people thinking their cousins are hot? I don't know.
Okay, I don't know that reference.
Literally was my next question was, do you even know who that is? Sarah Jessica Raphael, not Sarah Jessica Parker.
I know who Sarah Jessica Parker is. Wait, who is that?
So she was like the game. Can we do it as a game? Do you know the name Maury Povich?
Yes.
Montel Williams?
Yes.
Jerry Springer?
Yeah. So she's one of them?
Yeah. She's just one of that crew.
Yeah.
What is her name?
Exactly. That's exactly how you explain it.
What is her name? Sally.
Jesse. Raphael. Ricky Lake.
I know Ricky Lake too. Oh, you know what? I know this woman by her look. She might have been before those people though. Like, I don't think she was on TV when I was homesick from school.
I think she was more of a Phil Donahue, early Oprah
contemporary. Right. Like, she's a little before all of those people.
It's possible.
And Jerry Springer was on for decades. God rest his soul.
I have a nitpick. So Bobby Sr., mm-hmm. who hardly survived the fight, is covered in blood, smoking a cigarette, and then we cut to him driving. He made it down those steps without anyone noticing that he was covered in blood. He just strolled down those steps.
Yeah, after they heard gunshots, too. Multiple gunshots and screaming.
Right.
Yeah. That is a little bit of a movie moment. I'm like,
that's a tough.
Please don't.
And enough where we assume the siren's going his opposite direction. So someone called the cops. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Which made sense. Right. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, and honestly, maybe that's the answer, Joe, is that like they did see Oven Bakalov struggling down the steps and they're like, oh my God, something crazy just happened in that house. Let me call the cops. And that's what happened. You know, and then he got away quicker than, you know, we think seems feasible based on watching him up to this point in the episode. But I don't know, maybe kicked it into another gear.
So I just have a couple more real fast. Tony genuinely loves Junior. His genuine concern is really lovely. He really cares about him. And I love moments like that. And then my last one is a question, kind of an unanswered question. Do you think that Aide, when she says, I have to go to the restroom, does she leave?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I thought she was going to fix herself, but I don't know.
You think she comes back?
I think she comes back. I think she might have come. Maybe she comes back and says, like, I should really get going or something, but.
You know, at first I thought she did leave, but it isn't really in her character to leave. Like I think she'd feel uncomfortable, even worse than having him hit on her, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's going to keep trying to hold her hand.
Ew.
Well, or, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Like, or like, you know, that moment of her leaving, taking her hand away the third time or whatever it was, and then leaving the table. Like maybe he has a moment of like, this isn't going how I planned, you know, and I don't know. It's an unfinished scene. So we could speculate, you know, all we want, but that, you know, I think the takeaway is definitely, you know, her taking herself out and going to the bathroom is like the message being, you failed, Artie. You're not, this isn't going to be,
this is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Do we agree that Junior should have gone to that funeral?
Yes.
Of course. Trying to watch Frank Sinatra movie.
I think what movie is it? Is that a symbol that we missed?
It is, actually.
What movie was it?
I looked it up. I forgot. It's called 4 o'clock something, Death at 4 o'clock or something like that.
Are you sure it's not 3 o'clock?
Oh, is it 3 o'clock? The thing?
No, but that would be amazing if it was.
The Devil at 4 o'clock.
Okay. That would have been really amazing if it was 3 o'clock.
I wonder if you see a clock, say 4 o'clock at any time in this episode. You know what I'm saying?
Why? Yes. Why did he not go to that funeral? Because he was feeling sorry for himself, which I get your, like, it's a really hard mental moment to be told you have cancer and then have to go to someone funeral who died of cancer. But Junior, get in the car, come on.
Yeah, I just think he didn't care. I mean, he was he valued his own time and knew that he had a perfect excuse. Like, again, this is a very Larry David episode for Junior, and I think he was basically like, no one's gonna say anything to me if I don't go to this. You know, and if they do, I'll make them feel bad by giving them the reason why.
You think it's because he didn't care? I thought it was truly because he was like, this would be too hard for me, which is self-centered, in my opinion, in this scenario. You really think it's because he just didn't want to go?
Well, I agree with you. Sorry, hard for him, but not necessarily in the way like a compassionate person would be. Like, not hard for me, like, oh, poor old man, Bacala, but more hard for him, like, that's going to be me soon. And I don't want to deal with that. I'd rather stay home and watch TV.
Not that, like, I literally don't care. This man died. Bobby, you're on your own for your dad's funeral.
Yeah, that doesn't enter. He can't even stomach, like, talking to Bobby. He's, like, trying to look past him to look at the TV. Right.
Oh, my God.
I have one more quick question. Is it true that any product that begins with V makes you think of vagina?
I mean, now.
I just wanted to leave on that note.
Right. All right. Thanks to our listeners for analyzing season 3, episode 5, Another Toothpick with us. Big thank you to our guest, Nick. Nick, did you have a blast?
I had a wonderful time. Thank you so much for having me.
I did too. Thank you for being here. Thanks, and that's buddy. That's all from us for now. Talk to you soon when we discuss the next episode, season 3, episode 6, University. This has been the Sibling Sit Down. Thanks for listening to the Sibling Sit Down. Please remember to like or follow the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. So you never forget about it.